Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's ask Albert Breer about that. MMQB with us as always on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Albert, doing all right, good, man. We're trying to navigate the OTA waters right now. A lot of controversy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there hasn't been a ton to talk about there, right, until just recently. So,
well, the thing is, Albert, like the whole offense outside of Case Keenum, all the veterans on offense are not at OTAs. The defense is here. John Greco was on our station yesterday, the former Browns O-lineman, and he said that if J.C. Treader was not the union president, he thinks the Browns veteran players would be here. And while we don't want to make too big a deal of it, it is a little disappointing not to have the full team at camp.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, I think I've said this to you guys before, but, you know, the margins are so thin in the NFL. And, you know, I really think, like, the game's won on the margins. And the difference between one team and to the next and the difference talent-wise and the difference coaching-wise, I mean, it's the best of the best. So I do think little things like this can make a difference. Do I think it's going to sink the Browns season? No. But, you know, I think if one team has been working all spring and is able to hit the ground running in training camp, you know, do I think that that could be the difference between going 3-1 and 2-2 in September? Sure, it could be. And then could the difference between going 11-6 and 12-5 mean a home playoff game versus having to go on the road in the first round? Yeah. And could that mean the difference between advancing in the playoffs? Sure, it could. You know, so when you start to do the calculus in your head of the way all this stuff works, and I know you can tie yourself into not thinking about it, but I don't think it takes that much of a leap to understand why working in the spring can add up to make a difference in January. You know, and why I think, like, the NFL, you know, NFL coaches, NFL players, the great ones at least, are such sticklers for details because, I mean, the reality is lots of things can be won and lost on details at that level of the game.
Albert, you've covered the league forever. I mean, do you think there could be some divide at all between some players that showed up and some players that didn't? I mean, it seems like the entire offense is not here. And we have a cut we'll play here in a minute for you of Stefanski. My question would be, could some guys on defense look at the offense and say, where the hell you guys been? We've been here working our tails off. You just don't want to have any animosity on that roster once training camp comes. That's my point, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if the offense looks bad, I mean, I guess, you know, those things happen.
Right. Right.
I mean, I certainly think, like, if you look over the years, you know, the Ravens teams, those Jets teams under Rex Ryan, like, there have been examples of where, you know, great defenses have had animosity towards offenses that have lagged. And so it affects their performance, sure. You know, like, I think that would be an easy place for anyone to point back to, right? And I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm not insinuating that Baker's not doing a good job of, you know, getting the guys working in Austin and in Florida. But, I mean, like, these things, like, I don't know, guys. Like, I'm one of these people, and maybe it makes me, like, you know, a relic of the past or whatever, but I generally think more work is better than less work. You know what I mean? Like, I generally think that, like, you know, part of getting results is putting hours in, you know. And so, I'm not saying they aren't, but, you know, if you get to September and October and you've got, you know, an overachieving defense and an underachieving offense, then, you know, something like this can give something, can give players something that's very simple to point back to.
All right, Albert, we do have that clip. Here's Kevin Stefanski talking about Case Keenum being there and also commenting on the guys practicing in Austin.
Case being here, you know, he wanted to come in and get some work with the guys, and excited to have all these guys here, the guys that are out there working. As far as it relates to Baker and what's going on down there, my jurisdiction for the offseason program doesn't extend past Berea.
Do you look at that as any kind of criticism of the guys that are not there, that end comment, Albert?
I think it's tiptoeing around the obvious, which is, I think, I'll put it this way, guys. I think it's been frustrating for Kevin, you know, like that, you know, going year one to year two, especially because he didn't have an off-season program last year. This was a big spring for them to build off of what they accomplished last year. And so if you ask me, I think there's probably a little frustration there, and that they've been sort of thrust into the middle of this. And look, like I understand JC's points too. And JC, I think, is like looking out what's best for the players on the 32 teams across the league. And I think there's some positive change coming of this. So I think JC's made a very positive difference for players that's going to be felt well into the future. But as for what it means for the 2021 Browns, I mean, if like other teams are having guys show up and the Browns aren't because of this, then that's a net negative for the Browns. And I can understand why Kevin would be frustrated by it too. So, yeah, I mean, that's what makes it difficult. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah. I think that every coach has to tiptoe around like the quote unquote voluntary nature of, you know, the 9-week off season program. And when, you know, one of your leaders is a driving force in keeping guys away, you know, I think it can be a tough spot for a coach to be in, where he wants players in so he can continue to build. And what I think is he probably views as a pretty critical spring for his program. And yet, like, you know, the guy who's driving all of this is on your roster and has an influence over the other guys in the locker room.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, I saw a report, I can't remember where I saw this now, but that eventually that this 17 game is just a stopgap, that they're eventually going to go to an 18th game. Obviously, that would happen, or I guess that would have to happen after this current CBA. But do you, I mean, when will enough be enough? I mean, I love a lot of football, but, you know, do you think we are eventually going to get to 18 games?
I mean, God, I don't know, man. Like, they've fought so hard against 18 games, and I guess throwing more money at the players, maybe that gets it done. I don't know. I mean, like, here's the way I look at it. And Dustin, as a former player, you know, I think that you probably be able to relate with this pretty well. If I'm an NFL player and I'm putting myself through those car crashes every week, right? And that's what an NFL game is, a car accident, right?
Pretty much,
so,
yeah.
So, like, if it takes me – and my goal as an NFL player is what every NFL player has as his goal, which is to make it to a second contract, which is where the real money is, right, for most players, guys who are drafted outside the first round. Basically, the way I'm looking at the 17-game season now is you just made me go through four more games to get there, where I have to stay healthy, where I have to play well, where something screwy doesn't go wrong. Like, I have to make it through four more games now. If you go to 18 games, now I've got to make it through eight more games. And that doesn't sound like much, but that's a half a season, guys. You know what I mean? And that's a shorter off season. And like, I know most people look at this and say it's just one extra game. But if your goal is to take what is, I mean, like, you have to have exceptional needle in a haystack talent to make it to the NFL, right? And Dustin, you know this. Mm-hmm. And now to be rewarded for that, to be truly rewarded for that, in the way that everybody dreams of being rewarded for that, now I've got to make it through like four more car accidents or eight more car accidents. That's a pretty major deal, right? Like, so, Like, if I'm the players' union, like, they can keep throwing money at this, but I have to think about the body of the greater population of players. And am I making it more difficult for players to make it to the big money, the guaranteed money? And if I'm making it that much more difficult for guys to get there without getting something significant in return, I'm not doing it. And so I guess it's a long way of saying, you better give me something significant back if I'm going to 18 games. I'm talking about, like, maybe rookie deals are only 3 years and I'm an unrestricted free agent after 3 years. If you do that, maybe I think about it. Otherwise, I'm telling you to get lost on 18 games.
Albert, Kareem Jackson of the Broncos is apparently recruiting Deshaun Watson to Denver. Is there any movement on Watson at all right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of gotten quiet. You know, it makes you wonder where settlement talks could wind up going. Because I think it's pretty obvious that if all 22 of these cases are tried, it's going to take a long time for there to be any sort of clarity legally on this. And certainly not going to happen during the 2021 season. And so if we don't have legal clarity, then I think we'd have to have clarity from the league. And if we don't have clarity from the league or legally, I don't know how, if you're another team, you can ship off like an enormous haul to go and get him. And if you're not getting an enormous haul back, if you're the Texans, you're selling low, right? So I don't know what the Texans' motivation would be to think about moving him until there's some sort of clarity on this. And we just don't have it from the league right now, and we don't have it legally. And, you know, if there's a settlement, maybe we get that. But until we have, like, any sort of clarity from the league or legally, it's what makes me think that there's going to have to be a settlement here. It's just, you know, when you look at it, it's like if you're Deshaun Watson and you want out of Houston and you want to move on with your career, you know, I almost feel like you have to do it that way. And it sucks, especially if he's not guilty of what they're accusing him of. But I just don't know any other way around it, because it feels like to legally go through each of these cases case by case, I mean, it's going to be like a years-long process. And do you really want to go through that? And I know Deshaun Watson does not want to admit guilt in any of these cases, but just it feels to me like the only way that he's going to be able to move on with his career is to, you know, engage in some sort of settlement. And until we have that, I think we're sort of stuck in neutral.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, you know, the Aaron Rodgers saga continues. Was it? We played a clip earlier in the show from James Jones, his former teammate.
Oh, but Jordan Love looked great today, Adam, in practice in OTAs. I mean, throwing balls in 7-on-7, looking great.
Yeah, I heard he had a what was it like? I guess a flag got thrown, and he made a play. He made an Aaron Rodgers
free play.
Playoff.
Free play.
Huh?
Yeah,
on a free,
it was a free play.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so that one had to sting a little bit.
What I don't understand, Albert, is James Jones is on with Coward today and says, well, this is not about the GM. He's not mad at the GM. Then what is it about? We keep hearing it's not about the GM. It's not about the coach. What is he so insulted by? He gets paid a zillion dollars. This idea that they haven't put guys around him is a joke. He's always had excellent receivers. I know they maybe don't have a great number two. Devontae Adams is one of the best wide receivers in football. I mean, what is he so angry about? Can somebody tell me? Because all I hear is that he's been done wrong. He's been treated so terribly. And yet, by all accounts, he's not mad at it. So what is he mad about? I don't get it.
All right, let me flip this around on you guys then, because I'll ask you guys the same question that I asked Rich Eisen on his show yesterday.
No.
If you are a 38-year-old quarterback and you had 1 year left to win a championship, how many places would you go? Take the quarterback out of each roster. How many places would you go to before you'd go to Green Bay?
I'm off the top of my head, probably 6 or 8, maybe.
I mean, it's not many, right?
No, right. And even if it's that many, and most of those places have great quarterbacks.
Right. So, like, I'm with you. Like, I think this is different than, like, Tom Brady in New England, because Tom Brady, like, did things in New England to get out, like, to make sure he'd become a free agent. And the Patriots roster was crumbling around him, right? Like, that last year, he really had to carry the team at the end. And so, like, I think there are two things that have sort of, like, caused an issue for Aaron there. Number one, I think the communication over the Jordan Love thing was poor. He found out about it while they were on the clock. Do I think the Packers should have called him during that week and given him a heads up and said, hey, listen, we like the Utah State quarterback. If he falls, we might get aggressive and go and get him. Yes, they absolutely should have done that. And I understand why Aaron's upset about that, but it's a year later, right?
Exactly.
And you went to the championship game and you won the MVP. The other thing is, I think that he wants the Packers to build more aggressively the way the Buccaneers are building around Tom Brady. I look at that and I'm like, yeah, but like really, like what did the Buccaneers do? I mean, Mike Evans was there. Chris Godwin was there. Ndamukong Suh was there. Jason Pierre-Paul was there. Devin White was there. Like Lavonte David was there. Most of the team was there. Now, yes, they went out and got Rob Gronkowski and Shady McCoy and Leonard Fournette and Antonio Brown. But, I mean, those guys are all clearly on the back nine. And those guys
yes.
are role players, you know?
Yes.
So could the Packers do those things? Sure they could. I just think that part of it is workable. You know what I mean? Like, so I think Aaron, it's fair for him to ask Packers to be as aggressive as the Bucs have been? Sure. Do I think it's worth causing this problem over? No. So, those are the two things. Like, I think he'd like for them to be more aggressive in the way they're building their team and build on his timeline, which is, you know, a 2 or 3 year timeline. And I think that he's upset over the communication during the Jordan Love thing. Outside of that, I don't know what's going to fix this, and it's pretty unpredictable, guys. I can tell you, like, all the teams that were in on the Julio thing, they all had, like, a pretty good feel for the way things were going to go there, and they were right about the way things went there, right? This is totally different. Like, you talk to teams that would have an interest in Aaron Rodgers, and I'm telling, like, they're asking me what's going to happen here. So, I think it's highly unpredictable, and it's all sort of based on the whims of one guy.
Yeah, and plus, I don't know. I mean, the Packers did, if I remember correctly, in 2020, spend a lot in free agency. Didn't they kind of spend them, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like here's the thing. So they went out and they got Za'Darius Smith, they got Preston Smith, they got Adrian Amos, they signed Kyle Fuller to an offer sheet. Now, that didn't work out because the Bears matched, but, I mean, they were uncharacteristically aggressive.
Yeah.
They've also mortgaged some of those contracts to keep the team together. Like they mortgaged David Bakhtiari's contract, Za'Darius Smith's contract, so they could hang on to Preston Smith, who everyone thought they were going to cut or trade. So they've done those things. It's just that they haven't done it in the last 5 minutes, which I think is what Aaron wants.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
So, it's a very unpredictable situation because I haven't come across anybody who has an idea of what's going to happen when we get to July 27th and the Packers are reporting. Does he show up? Does he not show up? What more can the Packers do? Because I just don't know what that is. Now, I thought like maybe like finding a way to trade for Julio could have been an interesting olive branch. That's obviously gone now. I don't know what else you'd do if you're the Packers. They've already, again, mortgaged contracts. They held on to guys like Preston Smith that might have been cap casualties. They've flown multiple times to California to meet with him. I mean, I just don't know what more they can do at this point because, I really feel like this isn't a stare down. This is like the Packers are trying to do what they can to get him in, and he's just not responding right now.
Albert, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Albert Breer, MMQB.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.